Welcome to this episode of Ours to Protect on WLR.
Hello, and welcome to Ours to Protect, our monthly look at green initiatives happening in and around Waterford.
So the YAC stands for Youth Advisory Climate Council, and it's basically a bunch of young people who've come together. We all have a passion for climate action and climate justice, and we come together and organise events and campaigns in a very creative and fun way to deliver to the public to advocate for climate change.
Hold it all up, so it goes like, yep, keeping the dirt and the seeds inside. Good job. And then do it the other way, fold it, so keep that pinched.
So fold it this side as well?
Yeah, and then you're gonna fold it in on itself again. Yeah. So it kind of looks like a dumpling. All right, now that you have your dumpling, you're gonna roll it again so you tighten all the edges out so the seeds don't fall out. All right? Now that you have your seed bomb, I'm gonna give you a little bag to protect it. Now, when you go home, you're gonna find a good place, right, outside, and you're gonna just throw the seed bomb where you want it to grow, and then when the rain comes, it's gonna dissolve all the clay, and your seed bomb and your flowers will grow.
Just be running or walking, stop all this talking, oceans are rising, forests are burning, we have to do something, but no one is learning. Then it all happens again, it's a circle.
I'm Clodagh Walsh, and the voices you've been listening to are all involved in SLI, the Waterford Sustainable Living Initiative. Now, SLI is the Irish word for way, a word the organisation says sums up their work perfectly. Jen Harris is SLI founder and CEO, and I caught up with her on a very busy day in Garter Lane during the Sprague Children's Festival.
A lot of times I would say we do environmental education or global citizenship education, sort of a mix between the two. We really work primarily with young people around giving them the information and the skills they need to become their own advocates for climate justice issues. And so one of the things, like with today, which SLI does science, that's really about building our capacity and our resilience as individuals to take care of our staff and sort of not rely so much on, in this case, the grocery store for our food. We take those ideas and try to make them bigger with, you know, we have a rocket propulsion one where they're just blowing, you know, rockets with air. But it shows that we can start thinking beyond maybe a petrol-oriented society. And it's just planting those seeds with people that there's other ways of doing things.
And where did the idea for SLI come? Is that your background? Was it your idea? How did it come about?
Yeah, I'm a former teacher. When I first moved to Ireland about 20 years ago now, I had planned to keep teaching, and they wouldn't accept my qualifications and they wanted me to do another master's degree, and I was like, oh, I can't possibly. So then I got involved in global citizenship education here in Waterford, and I worked at another company for a while. When that company closed down, I sort of out of the ashes brought SLI and have just been building it from scratch. And I have to say that company shutting down and COVID kind of happened at the same time. So I actually had the time and space to really think and concentrate and build the company the way I wanted it to be without having to rush and feel like I have to get money. You know, it just gave me that space to develop it properly.
But even in terms of putting any company together, but I think particularly even like social entrepreneurship, you need money and funding.
Yes.
So was that difficult, and how does that work?
Well, we are an entirely grant-funded organization, so we are not actually a social enterprise because we don't sell anything. Everything we do, there's never a charge to the learner or the participant. And so, I just started applying for grants. Now, I had some experience in grant application and chasing funding that way, so I knew kind of where to go, and that's kind of the hardest part. But it's grown steadily. So we get funding from Creative Waterford, Creative Ireland. We get a lot of support from Irish Aid and through their post-primary program called Worldwide Global Schools. But we also get a lot of EU funding, so we just finished up a big DEER project that we've been on for 4.5 years, pretty much since the start of SLI. And then we've got 2 Erasmus grants on the go at the moment, and more hopefully coming down the pipeline. So it's really like a mix of where we get our funding from, and each project is funded by a different... So if you see us here, it's funded by one thing. If you see us in a post-primary school, it's funded by a different thing.
also, would a lot of your work as well, because you're talking about young people, do you go through the schools or into the libraries? Is it that type of thing?
We work primarily in schools that way. We've got, I mean, I had a long-standing relationship with the schools because I've been working in them since the early 2000s. And so I know a bunch of teachers, and we run the same programs in the schools. For example, our Global Schools program, where we have 7 of the post-primary schools in Waterford, send their transition year students, and we train them for a week. We have them for a whole week in St. Patrick's Gateway Center. And so we had nearly 60 TYs for the week, and we train them on a global topic, a different global topic each year. And then they go around to all the primary schools, and they teach what we taught them to the primary kids. So that's funded by Worldwide Global Schools, which is a branch of Irish Aid.
So what kind of subjects or what kind of issues are you looking at with those?
So each year it's a rotating topic, always a global issue, a global topic. And we kind of have an environmental slant to things, so and a climate justice perspective we try to bring to the students. So this year we did greenwashing and sports washing. And so we were looking not just at environmental issues, because obviously there's human rights issues involved with that, and we look at that as well.
Hi, and welcome to the Waterford Global Schools 2023 workshop.
This year we focused on the Sustainable Development Goals and Sustainable Transportation.
This programme is run by the Waterford Sustainable Living Initiative, better known as SHLI, and has been running now for over 20 years.
We would like to thank Worldwide Global Schools for funding this project.
This year, transition year students from 7 Waterford schools met to learn and teach together, including
Our Lady of Mercy,
Newtown,
De La Salle,
Presentation,
Versailles,
Abbey Community College,
Ursuline.
We would like to start with a global warm-up activity designed to activate your knowledge about climate change.
What percentage of the cars on the road are electric? A, 5%, B, 10%, C, 20%, or D, 50%?
The answer is 5%. By 2030, we hope to have 1 million electric cars on the road, which is half of all cars. By 2050, we hope to have all petrol and diesel cars off the road in Ireland.
How much did Ireland spend on fossil fuel subsidies in 2019? A, 100,000, B, 1 million, C, 1 billion, or D, 2.5 billion?
The right answer is 2.5 billion. Fossil fuel subsidies are designed to keep petrol costs down so people will keep driving them.
What percentage of our electricity comes from renewable sources? A, 12%, B, 23%, C, 38%, or D, 42%?
We've done water, and we have done the problem with plastics. So, you know, they're sort of these environmental / social issues that we focus on.
But also the notion then that those young people are going out to teach and pass on the information
exactly
to their peer group.
It's amazing, and it's really, I think it really helps them sort of develop that mindset themselves. So we don't tell them what to think, but we give them the information. But we've had a lot of people come back to us and say that, you know, oh, I did your Global Schools program and then became a teacher because of it. And so we get that sort of people coming back and telling us. Talking to Sarah over there, when she was in transition year, she did Global Schools, and now she is like integral to SHLI, and we couldn't function without her. So that's really nice to have someone come all the way, like full circle. And she can never leave SHLI now. Of course she can.
What do we need to do? First thing we have to do is we have to take a sheet of newspaper. Do you all want to do one at the same time? Because if so, what I'll do is... So everybody turn your pot then onto this table like that. And what I need you to do, oh, smash it down really hard. Squish it, squish, 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 squish. And that gives you the end of your pot. So you want it, no soil can come out. And then you take it off carefully. And then you have your paper pot. And the best thing with these is, so if you have a pot at home, they'll root through the newspaper, and you can just put it straight into a pot at home,
so
and straight into the ground.
Really
wherever you're going, your piece goes straight in.
And then this will paper will decompose.
This will decompose, yeah, exactly.
So much it'll
feed
the plant.
Exactly. You could do this workshop. Do you want to do this for me? And I'll just go take a break. You were brilliant. Do you want to make a hole right in the middle?
That's Sarah Keane. And Sarah is the Project and Communications Officer with SHLE. Now, she's also the facilitator of the YAC, the Youth Advisory Climate Council of SHLE.
Advisory Climate Council. They're an amazing group of young people. So they range from kind of transition year age, about 15, 16, up to some of them are 28, 29, 30, kind of up to that age. So it's a huge range. They're all really passionate about social issues and climate issues in loads of different ways. And they're really, really, at the moment, really, really focused on getting youth voices heard. So a number of them are working on different campaigns and projects to kind of amplify youth voice, which is incredible. And I'm so lucky to have them as part of our group.
Michaela is a member of the YAC. Indeed, she's one of the people who was in at the very, very beginning of the Youth Advisory Climate Council.
The YAC started in 2020, and it was from Jen and Sarah who wanted to have young people's input into the work that they do. And it was just a brilliant experience to be invited to, you know, a group of passionate young people working on, having a sustainable lifestyle in Waterford.
Katie is also a member of the Youth Advisory Council, and she told me why she became involved.
Originally, I got involved with YAC because, if I'm being honest, I wanted to make friends. I feel like it's hard to make friends with people with the same interests as you. So one of my friends was in YAC, and that's why I joined. But now, being in YAC for quite a while now, being involved with things like this, it gives me a voice, you know, like it lets me express my opinions and talk about things that I'm passionate about, because I genuinely believe that youth are the future and that we should have our voice heard. And especially in policies, I think that young people should be involved in these conversations. So I kind of got involved for that reason. And climate action, climate justice has always been a passion of mine, as I was in like green schools in my school. So I kind of just grew up in secondary school with that passion and then mix it with my advocacy, and it kind of blossomed.
All of the young people involved in the YAC, they're very proactive when it comes to engaging with politicians, both locally and nationally, as a recent visit to the Dáil will testify. And as Sarah said, they make sure that their voices and opinions are heard.
Chair,
Sinn Féin Senator Chris Andrews.
I'd just like to acknowledge the young people from SLE, a Sustainable Living Initiative from Waterford, in the public gallery. Their vision is of a global community working together to ensure an equitable and sustainable future for all. And SLE is dedicated to fostering a sustainable and ethically conscious community, and they try to empower people through education and action. And I'd like to commend their ongoing interest and engagement within the community. Guair Mógadh.
This is something I actually brought up in the Dáil. It was improving transport in Ireland, and particularly in Waterford. For example, the Waterford Airport. I feel like, you know, if I want to go on holidays, it's either Cork or Dublin, and it's so far to get there. And it's even, you know, you either go by car or train or bus, and that's the fuel from that, and then the fuel from on the airplane. So I feel like something I would love to see is Waterford Airport getting funding or getting, you know, revamped and stuff. I think that would be a very big change, not only for the environment, but also create more jobs in Waterford and bring in money to the economy.
Ava?
I was also going to say that it would create like more employment as well. Something I would like, you know, if I had a magic wand, I would make electric cars like cheaper, and I would also like add more public transport, buses. Because the problem is, right, is that electric cars are obviously better for the environment, but they're so expensive. It would really just be better if they were cheaper, because then people would be more inclined to buy it.
Michaela?
I think definitely around the attitude, and especially around consumerism. You know, there's a lot of things that need to be changed, but we definitely have an overconsumption, especially around Christmas time. You know, we get tens and tens of gifts, and then, you know, are they actually used? So if we could use what we have and not focus so much on things.
Do you think people's mindset is changing around, maybe, like Ava said, you know, taking the bus, or I can actually walk to the shops, I don't need to get into my car, or, you know, do I need another navy sweater? No, I don't. I have six already in the wardrobe. Do you think people's attitudes are changing?
I think particularly amongst young people, it is changing. And I know, you know, if I'm doing something and I talk about it to my friend, you're more likely to influence them to do it. So I do think it's changing amongst young people, and we just need to keep striving for that change, which is why, you know, like something like YAC is good, because, you know, it's young people are influencing other young people, and you're more likely to listen to someone like that you consider a peer or a friend.
Katie mentioned there about how young people are more likely to pay attention to someone of their own age. And that's an integral part of how SLE works, empowering young people and giving them the tools to pass on their knowledge to one another, and doing it in a fun way, encouraging young people to bring their talents to the table. Here's Sarah again, as the heavens opened.
It was called How We See the World, and it was part of our DEAR-funded 4-year project, which has just come to an end, unfortunately. So we were able to fund it through that, but it was a arts and eco-education summer camp. So we did a free for 20 to 25 participants, and I did 4 mornings a week where I taught them on a particular topic. So it could have been biodiversity, climate change. And then we had different facilitators in movement, in writing, in music. And throughout the week, then in the afternoons, they would work with those facilitators, and I would still be there to answer questions. And they would put together a script and put together a show. And by the end of the week on the Saturday, they would put on a full show that reflected their learning. And it was, it was really great. It was amazing.
We don't act now, what world will we leave behind for our children and their children and their children? Please, Miss Mayor, you have children yourself. Please stop this, because the next generation has nothing left. I'd now like to invite some people up stage to help me sing a song to persuade you.
Just be running or walking, stop all this talking. Ocean are rising, forests are burning. We have to do something, but no one is learning.
We did a partnership with Network Cat and Aideen Brannock as our producer, and then we had different other facilitators then depending on the year. And we did it either in Little Red Kettle or in Garter Lane or in Goma, actually. They were the 3 places that we did it.
Do people help each other out? Is there like cross-pollination?
There can be. It depends if things line up, for sure. Like, we have an amazing working relationship with the libraries, like, and we have been incredibly lucky with them. Little Red Kettle, with that particular project, were invaluable to us. Emer and Nicola down there, they helped us do the getting the word out, the admin stuff of like having the young people, and also helping us out with the spaces. So it depends. If things align, it works out really well. And I think our libraries have been our biggest connection.
We must keep trying. Then it all happens again. It's a circle. It's a circle. Then it all happens
My name
again.
Is Tracy McAnini, and I'm executive librarian in Barking Library. SLE are great because they're all about sustainability, the climate change. They do an awful lot of work with youth as well because of the YAC, and their ethos is very much feeds into our ethos, so it's absolutely brilliant. SLE organised our first clothes swap in Central Library, and we have had several clothes swaps since then. And when I say a clothes swap, it is queues out the door. They also did an exhibition for fast fashion. And again, that with YAC. But what we like it, the SLE especially, it's not all about theory. It's actually about practicality. And that's perfect for us.
Since you started working with them, can you see a change in the public in terms of engaging with the type of thing that they do?
Oh, absolutely. We had a gift swap last year And again, it was busy. There was a queue outside the door. We had maybe 200 people at that gift swap. This year, we had 1,000 people at our gift swap, and it went on for 3 hours. Whereas the previous year might have been maybe an hour and a half, was busy, but this year it was like 3.5 hours and 1,000 people through our doors. So it's a kind of win-win for us because we want more people coming into our doors. So it's, and we want climate-friendly events. So it was perfect for us.
Well, I suppose if you think about it, what you do is sustainable.
Absolutely, because the books, it's, and also what I say, even for a practical, you know, people don't have big houses. They don't have rooms that they can just say, oh, this is a library. So we have all the books you need. You don't have to dust them at home. You can come in, borrow them. We also have the BorrowBox app, you know, for the e-books, e-audiobooks, e-magazines, e-newspapers. And again, that's all very climate friendly, isn't it?
Have you anything else coming up with SLE that you're going to do or that you can tell us about?
We have a media literacy conference. This is in October the 16th. It's actually in the Theatre Royal. And this is with Europe Direct as well. It's Use Your Voice, How to Spot and Fight Disinformation. But they also do a lot of media literacy events, the SLE. And what I really, really like about the SLE is the Youth Advisory Climate Council, because they are the youth, they are the future. Isn't it great to see the youth getting involved? It's just a joy to work with them.
Not ones to sit on their laurels, the members of the YAC have plans to progress even further. Jen.
They would like to start a social enterprise, actually, so that they can become self-funded. And they're looking at collecting used crisp wrappers. And there's a process where you iron them together and you can make bags and wallets and things like that out of them. And so they're hoping to do that and then sell those to fund their activities. Because we work, I was talking about the transition, that's when we start talking to that group every year, and we usually get a few new members that come out of that. So it's really,
look at the rain.
It really is sort of that those two projects, even though they're separate projects, they are working hand in hand. We're run by a board, obviously, and we have two seats on the board that are reserved for the members of the youth council. So we have two youth council members that are sitting on the board of directors for SLE, and they're invaluable.
And that also gives them a sense of ownership.
Absolutely,
it?
They have stepped up. They are like fully participating in the meetings as if they were born to it.
I am too.
In terms of moving forward, like, you're a very tight operation and your reach is really wide. So are there plans for moving
growing.
Forward, for growing?
Yeah, we talk about it. If we grow, it really depends on funding. But also, I'm not going to lie, I like where we are and I like just the two of us. We are very nimble as a company and we get a lot of work done for two people. And I think, I don't know if I want to add on all of the layers that come with growing the company when our impact is pretty wide at the moment, you know, and we see thousands of students every year already. And so, how much more do we really want to grow if growing means that we have to commute to carry out our workshops? That's not really something that we want to do. We want, you know, that was one of the reasons of starting a company down here and not going and starting to work in Dublin, because we don't want to commute. We don't want to pollute the environment by commuting. And so it's just our ethos to stay local and stay small. And I think we're in all the schools pretty much already. So we could definitely do some more community work to watch this space. Yeah.
We all know the expression punching above your weight. But for a small two-person operation, that is exactly what SLE does. And as for the future, Sarah.
When I look at specifically the young people that we work with in all of the different things that we do, but especially the YAC, they give me hope. That's where I try to draw my hope from, because I find it probably as hard as they do to see the things that are happening in the world, and I try to make my voice heard as much as possible. So yes, they give me hope. I find it hard sometimes, but they're the ones that when they come out with ideas or when they tell me what they're doing or where they'd like to go with things,
that gives me hope and that gives me joy. So I am hopeful. There is a huge number of young people that are passionate about these things, and I find it really difficult when I hear older people saying that, oh, the youth say they don't care. And it's just not true. They do. There's huge numbers of them that do. Some of them, they don't know where to go to start. And that's why I keep telling anybody who wants, doesn't know what, but they are passionate about something or they care about the plan, come and join us. We'll like work together to figure out a way forward for you to do something about it. Because that can be the hardest thing, is taking the first step. And so that's what we try to provide with the YAC, is like that first step. Okay, you may not know what the group is, but you know that you care about something. You know that you want to talk about something or make a change about something, but you don't know where to start. That's what this is for. Come join us. They're an amazing group of people that will support you, will give you advice, will tell you what they did, and hopefully people can kind of learn from that.
And that's it for this month. Thanks to everyone who spoke to me. From Ours to Protect, I'll talk to you soon again. Bye-bye.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by WLR, the IBI, and funded by Commission Amman, with the television license fee. For more info, see the sustainability page on WLRFM.com.